salut. Oh, way back. Nature intended it.
Hello, everybody. This is Andy Lopez, better known as Invisible Gardener. My mic is, or either that is my head's making funny static noises. today, I have a guest, and her name is Deborah Garcia, right, Deborah?
Yeah, Deborah Coons Garcia. That's my name.
Cool.
Hello.
And you're the director and producer of Symphony of the Soil.
That's right.
Cool. I just saw it. I'm sitting there on my, I just got a new smart TV, you know, so I was getting really smart. So I, in terms of going out into the internet and pulling out stuff. And so I all of a sudden started, I think it was on the Gaia or some other network that I was just starting to listen to, and every word, Symphony of the Soil, and I'm going, and, you know, I also got calls from people in the at the time I was going. My friend says, I thought that was you, because it's exactly what I have been saying for the last, I don't know, thousands of years, you know, in terms of, so let's talk a little bit about the movie, and explain to people, you know, I don't know. I have never seen it out. I understand it's out in different the mark, you know, in different places being seen. But I just saw it on the internet, so I didn't know. But I'm assuming that there are. You can see it. So you explain to people.
You can get it through. Yeah, you can get it through iTunes or Amazon, or you can go to our website, symphonyofthesoil.com. Yeah, the film came out 6 years ago. It's been out
six
for a while,
years ago.
And
wow. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's I guess it's old in the film world, but it's about soil, which never gets old except when it's abused. So anyway, the film obviously is still accurate and it's been very popular. 2015 was the UN Year of the Soils, and
really?
I showed the film I showed the film on World Soil Day at the UN, which began the UN Year of the Soils.
Wait, there's a World Soil Day?
Yeah, there's a World Soil Day. It's in December, and that's when the International Year of the Soil started. And so the film was shown. I showed it at the UN that day, and they also showed it at the FAO in Rome, the food, you know, the whole UN food organization, and it was shown all over the world under the auspices of the UN. I mean, I've shown it at Congress. I've shown it all over the place. It's a good film. It was New York Times critics' pick, and so it was. You know, it had a regular run of festivals and theaters and all that kind of stuff. But also lots of grassroots stuff, and it was shown at the World Congress of Soil Science, which was in Korea that year. The year it showed, and that's the premier soil science convention. They have thousands of soil, I think 20,000 soil scientists come from all over the world, and it was shown at the U.S. main soil conference to a bunch of scientists. So it's an interesting film because it is, you know, it's a scientific film, but it's also very practical about how we need to become soil conscious. You know, we're soil blind, and we need to become soil conscious because we are dependent on the soil and we have a relationship with it. And if you're not conscious of a relationship with something, it's probably not going to be a very good relationship. So there's lots of interesting things about soil.
Right, because, you know, my whole thing, I started young. You know, I do a business called Invisible Gardener, right?
Yeah.
You heard right? Okay, so I didn't get the actual name Invisible Gardener until 1970, okay? 1970. And 1956 or so, I started gardening. I own the copyright to Don't Panic, It's Organic, okay? And I started in the sixth grade doing organic gardening, you know. I did it for my place, and then I did it for my neighbors. But the point was that during the summertime, I would get sent home. My dad's Cuban, my mother's Puerto Rican. So summertime, I would get sent either to Puerto Rico or Cuba. And guess what they're really into over there? Compost, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they both of them, especially my great grandparents in Puerto Rico. Well, they had a bigger farm than the other side, but massive amounts of stuff that always got recycled. I mean, they recycled everything into. So I learned in an early age about compost and the importance of compost. And to me, the compost is the key to everything. And that's how I got the name. I didn't get the name until 70, because I at the University of Florida. That's what I was studying. There's no way, they didn't teach organic gardening or anything organic. They still pretty much don't now. You can't really go out and get a degree in organic, gardening or organic.
Well, actually, you can at Washington State University. That's the first place.
Really?
And there are a few places, and you can. I mean, it's more. Than it used to be. It used to be they had no information about organic, but now because people started growing organic and there's a huge organic market, the schools do have it. And UC Santa Cruz has a wonderful organic garden, and they have a program developed around that garden. So you can find it, but, it's overpowered by the big land-grant universities in chemical agriculture. But it's, composting, like you're talking, a lot of traditional cultures composted. They figured out that you had to give back to the soil in order to replenish what you took when you took out the crops. So a lot of traditional cultures did that, and when people started farming organically in the States and in Europe, and they looked to traditional cultures to see how they maintained their soil, and composting, as you say, composting and cover crops and crop rotation, those kinds of things are kind of like farmer wisdom,
When when one of the early things I remember in the composting process or in the composting on the farm, anywhere near the it was the mushrooms. It would be because in Puerto Rico it rained regularly, and there would be mushrooms coming up all over the place. And so I learned early that was a good sign. To me, it was like that's good because the mycelium and everything's growing, everything's functioning the way it's supposed to be, and that shaped the way I do business. In a commercial sense, because I do a natural, this is a commercial, okay? I do a natural spraying service, and that's what I do for a living. I help properties come back to life, and I consider myself a natural arborist. And what I do is I actually try to inoculate people's properties with mushrooms, essentially the mushroom compost or any type of, I call it microorganisms, to get the soil going, right? Because if the soil is healthy and if the soil is alive, guess what? Everything else would happen too, right? Be healthy and alive too, right?
Right. Well, I think people are really starting to understand that now, the importance of mushrooms or fungi, really, and mycorrhizae underneath the soil, the relationship that they have with plants, that they have a relationship with the plant roots, so they can pull minerals. We have a great section about this in Symphony of Soil, where they pull the nutrients out of the rock and give it to the plant roots, that then give it to the plant that helps the plant grow, and then when the plant dies and returns to the soil, it ends up feeding the microorganisms that feed the mycorrhizae and the mushrooms. So this whole idea, it's interesting. I was watching something about mushrooms on TV, and they had a cooking thing, and the person was from Europe, Russia, actually. They said that in Russia, when this woman grew up, they loved mushrooms. As soon as the spring came and was, it was very wet out there, they went out and they looked for mushrooms and they gathered them and they cooked them, and everyone loved mushrooms. And she moved to the United States. I think she moved here in the 40s or 50s, and people didn't like mushrooms at all. They thought mushrooms were toadstools and they're horrible and they're poison and stay away from them. There's like this whole attitude. So anyway, now it's a little better because people like to eat mushrooms, but I still think they don't understand that relationship
about,
that it's part of life.
No, they don't. And what's interesting too is that when I saw the movie, it was just like talking to myself, because I write a blog, and I've been doing this radio show kind of thing for a long time. I actually started it in 1970, and it's exactly what I have a lot of different sayings. One of them is you feed the soil first, and then eventually one of my radio shows is called It's Alive. It's alive, it's alive. But essentially what I tell people is, look, there's a relationship. This is the way it works. It's all about trace minerals. So everything comes down to a trace mineral deficiency. Think about the diseases and the pests, you name them, all of them, At the root cause is a trace mineral deficiency. Now, where are they supposed to be getting the trace minerals from? You're supposed to be getting them from the bacteria, the microbes in the soil, which is the mycelium. That's what they do. They break it down. That's part of the, one of my shows I talk about carbon. Now, you're going to have to help me with this word because it's a really long word, but it's basically taking carbon out. What it does is that in the root hairs, and this is exactly what the movie says too, there are microbes in there that will live on the root hairs of the trees, and they what their job is to do is they take carbon and they form an acid, and they take the minerals and they bind the minerals and they break the minerals down, and then they pass it along in the form that the plant can eat it through the root hairs and into the plant. And that's where they get the minerals.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, right, I think it's, yeah, there is a whole relationship going on, and I think that, you know, the more you feed the soil and the healthier people's gardens are, their land or whatever, wherever it is, the better, because it encourages that relationship. And I think when soil dies, then there is no relationship. You know, there's the relationship has ended, and then
right.
people have to keep putting, adding stuff in because it's not happening.
Have you read the book called, I forgot the name now, but basically it's how to save the world with mushrooms. By Paul Steinman.
There's one book he has called Mycelium Running, right? There's that
right.
book.
Right, that's it.
Yeah, I mean,
Mycelium
I'm not sure
Running,
about
but
book.
That has a subtitle, sure. How to Save the World with Mushrooms, right?
Yeah.
Right, exactly
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
Very,
I mean,
very
yeah.
good stuff, right. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think it's, I mean, I think that, without mushrooms, we lose the ability to have the kind of healthy soil that can return nutrients to the plants, like you were just saying. I think that's an important role that fungi play.
One of the things that when I did over here, I moved from Miami, Florida, one part of the world, to Malibu, California. The one thing that they both had in common was is that in Miami, I was getting a mushroom compost. This is a mushroom company, organic mushroom company in Florida. So they basically steamed everything, sterilized it, and they grew the mycelium, and they grew the. Then they not only did they have great mushrooms, but they had this mushroom compost that we can buy. And so I would buy it by the truckload and blend it with my stuff, because I was basically inoculating people's properties, because they would, when it rains, they would call me, Andy, there are mushrooms growing on their lawn. What are we going to do? I would say, well, I wouldn't get in the habit of eating, because you don't really know exactly what else could be growing or whatever. It's just, but don't worry about it. They're fine. Leave them alone. I mean, it's even to this day, I get calls, people saying, there are mushrooms coming up on the lawn. What should I do? I would just say, just
right.
leave them alone. And so that's good,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah, it is a good thing. And the mushrooms don't stay for that long, because that's just the fruity, that's a very small part of this whole mycorrhizal system under there, and that's just the fruiting body of it that comes up, and then they die off. And those people need to understand that those mushrooms, the mycorrhizae, are just really good for their whole, whatever they have there. It's a very good thing to have those there.
So here's something you might find interesting. So one of the ways I deal with diseases in trees, you name the trees, from the bark beetle, I'm from Florida, so they have the greening disease. You aware what the greening disease is? Greening?
Is it when things turn level?
It's a citrus.
Yellow?
Yeah, it's a citrus.
Disease. That's a real problem, isn't it?
Right. So I'm from Florida, see? So from Florida, I started making compost early because it's really easy to do. I'm in South Florida and Homestead, right? My early youth,
right.
My dad used to drive me out into the country to get manure, whether it be chicken manure. I found a rabbit place, so they give me rabbit manure, And as a kid, I'd get bags and bring it back to my backyard and make my compost and stuff. They were so good that it overflowed to my neighbors, right? Give me some of that. And so I started selling it really early, and then I started using it, because that's the main thing you do is you go to people, like even to, right, just give it a, yes, just a few days ago, I went to a person and said, what's wrong with my trees? I go, well, you don't have any soil here, lady. they're watering like crazy, right? They're just watering, and the trees are going, the kids. And
right.
I says, when's the last time you put compost down or soil? Even the gardeners have no idea that there's supposed to be, you know, this soil here, because a lot of times, you know, that's sub-hard soil. and so the compost, I started, you know, the whole, so when I do the, like with the bark beetles, for example, and I have it in my new book, which I, did I send you a copy of it in the e-book, a PDF? Did I send it to you yet?
I don't think so, no,
Okay, because I'm actually sending him out now, because it's up to, I'm going to talk a little bit about it later, but it's in the works for a long time, but the last year has gone through version 121. But I'll send it to you in a PDF format. You will love it, because basically what the symphony says of the soil, which I love SOS, by the way, is that done on purpose, right?
Yeah, I think so, subconsciously, right?
yeah, it's like the earth is saying SOS, or we're saying SOS, you should pay attention, you know, to the SOS thing, though, right? But,
yes.
So, you know, and it the whole thing is really so annoying because, see, I have proven myself, because I've been in the business for a long time, I'm 69 years old, I started in the sixth grade, so figure it out, right? And so I've been doing this a long time, and I've proven it over and over again. The real problem, you know, you deal with the law of cause and effect. And you know,
right.
Chemically we can deal with effect all we want to, but if we don't deal with the cause, and it always goes back down to the soil. As an arborist, you say, well, gee, what's connected? How are these trees connected to the soil? Maybe the soil may have something to do with the health of the tree, right? Right?
Right. Right.
And,
yeah.
And they don't get it. And that's the whole thing that I do with my, so I've learned from experience that when somebody, you know, the healthy tree, you notice how trees are healthy if you leave them alone and you're actually in a place where mankind is not there. And you know, they can withstand the disease and that pest. And it all has to do with trace minerals, because everything's working down there. And this cycle is happening, you know, the plants are going to get all the minerals they need. Unfortunately, you know, right now, because of humankind, we have changed this nature to the degree that the trace minerals are not being distributed the way they used to be in the good old days, right?
Right, that's true.
You know what I'm saying?
True.
Right? So I tell people, when's the last time an animal came and died in your backyard and decomposed and returned everything back, right? Right?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, so, they don't leave it there, do they? If it does die there, they don't leave it there.
So we have to, you know, start putting, because I tell people, you know what soil depletion is? And that's because we keep taking out. If we don't put anything back in again, we're going to have a problem. That's why I promote, you know, use of rock dust. I tell people use compost, rock dust, and mulch. You know what rock dust is, right?
Yeah.
Source of minerals.
Rocks.
Exactly right, and in a trace mineral form, which means a small amount. If you normally you add it to the compost, therefore it will be in there. That's their minerals, because you basically tell them, I'm going to get some good sources of bacteria, because nowadays there are lots of ways to get mycorrhizae, there are lots of ways to buy them, the microbes. You know, you can buy them in stores in different ways now, especially nowadays with pot growers, so they're doing a lot of microbial. They're smart. A lot of microbial going, because everything grows really well. And then if you add the rock dust to that, which is the minerals, you add the two together, let them party, and because they're going to be producing a rich mixture for the soil, because the soil, it has to go through the system of the soil. I tell people, it's like our skin, you know, it has to be functioning. If you destroy our skin, we're in trouble.
Right.
Sorry, I get carried
That's
away.
Right, it's the skin of the earth.
I get carried
skin
away.
Of the earth.
Exactly, because what you guys are saying, and I think I personally think that professionals, like I had a talk not too long ago with University of Southern California. They have over 10,000 trees over there. They're dying from this type of, a particular, it's called the shot hole borer. You know what that is?
Oh.
Shot hole borer. It's basically a borer that would bore into the tree and place a fungus in there that would grow, and then plant his kids in there. So the fungus will take over the tree and kill the tree, but the kid would eat the fungus, right?
Right.
Pretty cool.
Creepy.
And so they wanted this. So they say, well, because I had a little meeting with them, and I was basically, you know, interviewed them, right? Because I said, I can help you. Just give me 5 minutes, right? You're all this time. These are all arborists And, you name the degrees and everybody from the school, who's in charge of the maintenance and so forth. And so here's what the problem was, okay? First of all, these, I think they're willows or some other thing, I forgot the name of it, but they're not native to here anyway. So they were planted here. And they're in the, if you think of a college town, you think of lawns, greens, everywhere. So these are planted in this massive lawn, right? And of course, they heavily
Right.
fertilize the lawn, right? High nitrogen
Right.
fertilizer, right? And they were being really smart because they're taking that water that they're fertilized the lawn with, recycling to water the trees with. So you understand the problem already, right?
Yeah. Too much
Yeah.
nitrogen.
Right off the bat. And on top of that, there's no, you, I told them, when's the last time you guys seen an earthworm on your property there? Right?
Right. What did they say? It couldn't
They,
remember.
right, yeah, and to me, it's clearly a trace mineral deficiency because that's what happens. That's the reason why the Schottholer borer goes there. The Schottholer borer, like any insect, has evolved. You know what a refractometer is?
I did know, but now I can't remember right this minute. You
It's
have to, I
used
guess
to
you're gonna have to
normally to
tell us.
measure sugar, in wine or in beer or juices. But it's also used in the horticultural world to measure the Brix level of plants.
Oh, that's right.
I take it one step further and I measure the Brix level of the plant. Normally, when you measure Brix level of plant, you measure the juice, orange juice, right? Right, or the
Right, for
wine,
the grapes.
right?
They use it a lot in grapes with
Right,
vineyards. They use it a lot.
exactly. Mainly it's used for grapes, right, for the winery stuff, right. But what I did was in my early youth, I would take and measure the flowers. You grind the flower up and you make get a juice out of it. Or the leaves. The leaves also, you take the green, right? You take a green leaves, you mash it up, and you see the clear chlorophyll, put a drop in there, measure so you're actually measuring the plants, right?
Yeah.
Right? And so
Yeah.
that's what I learned, that the higher the Brix, the higher the mineral levels the plant's going to have. See? And interesting what happens, and it's not in the movie, and I forgive you guys if you didn't interview me, have me in the movie, because this is like the movie. I bought a video of it and figure out a way to I show it locally and stuff. Maybe when I give a talk, I might take it with me, but I'm supposed to be there to give a talk, but mainly I might just show the video. Because it says exactly everything I've been saying. But basically, I've learned, and something really interesting, and you can look it up and figure it out for yourself. But basically, what happens is that when if a plant has all the minerals, and we're talking about all the trace minerals, not just one mineral or two minerals. Mainly, you have to have them all. There's over 70 different trace minerals. Our body needs two. It's not a coincidence, right? That we
Right.
need. And so if you have a high Brix level, you're going to have a very high, the tr plants is going to very high complex carbohydrates. If on the other hand, because so if you have a just say for a citrus, you normally would get a really organic citrus plant would have a 28 Brix level, okay? It's usually from 22 out and up, 22, 23, 24, 28 Brix level. That means that plant has lots of minerals, trace minerals in it. Now, if it had if you go to a store and you actually measure the juice, or if you actually go out to a field and measure the field that they have over there, 10 if they're lucky, which then translates to me very little trace minerals. So the plant with a very it's confusing too, because you know what high nitrogen does to a tree? It raises the Brix level really fast, because high nitrogen, the nitrogen causes the sugar levels to rise really, really fast, but then it drops down lower than it was before. It's only a temporary thing. So that's why they keep pumping it with nitrogen and making it grow. But so it's growing green and bright, but it has very low trace minerals, which translates to simple carbohydrates, which are the perfect food for the insects. Remember, they can't digest complex
Right, they get
carbohydrates.
drawn in. Yeah, that's what
Right.
they're realizing now with wheat, because of all the fertilizer they use, it creates this sweetness around the roots of the wheat that actually attracts diseases. It attracts Fusarium, and it attracts. I think that's it's the same thing. I think it attracts these pests because it's sweeter than normal than it should be.
Right, because that's a simple carbohydrate. See, and that's food source. That's energy from. They love that. So they have evolved over time to actually respond to when things are going through a trace mineral deficiency, because that means weakness. That means time to eat. You know, I tell people that the mycelium is the most intelligent being on the planet. You know, we evolved from mycelium, right? You know that?
Yeah, we have a lot more in common with them genetically than we do with other mammals.
So exactly right. We evolved from them. We decided throughout somewhere in there to actually get up and be detached from the earth, right? Not like trees, which are... Right, the trees have their roots in there. By the way, there's a let's see now. I don't know the name of it, because one of the shows that I do is that I talk about how trees talk, right? How trees communicate with each other, because part of my experience has been that they use the actual the mycelium is, in my opinion, I write music, and one of the songs is called the Mycelium Consciousness, because I'm always paying attention to Her Majesty, right? When they talk about Gaia, they're really talking about this ancient being that's been living here. I consider mycelium one consciousness throughout the earth. And so in different areas, the trees, actually, they evolved, my opinion. Actually, I think it's in the movie where it says basically a tree root system will actually be looking for the mycelium, and the mycelium will be looking for the root system, and the two merge together, and the mycelium covers the root system and works. A certain type of mycelium lives around the root system, and that's the interface between the soil and the trees.
Yeah.
Is that in the book?
True.
Too? Is that in the movie?
Yeah, we have a whole section on that, on this whole relationship between the rocks, which are minerals, and the soil, and the mycelium, and the plant root, and it goes, you know, there's a part of this cycle, and almost all plants have this relationship with mycelium, except for certain things like pine trees, or brassicas don't have it, but it's a really interesting thing that people didn't even know that till, well, I mean, traditional farmers and gardeners and naturalists knew it, but it wasn't really part of the scientific knowledge until the 70s when someone noticed and keep finding this stuff. So that just shows you how they weren't looking for it, you know, because they didn't want to see the wisdom in it. They wanted to provide, you know, chemicals instead, I think.
You know, I've been saying this since I started doing my radio show in the 70s, and then I didn't, you know, there aren't too many other places that say the same thing. So I'm very happy to have run into this movie, because it basically verifies, okay, look, either I'm crazy or we're all crazy in it together, right? And there's something more going to it. The other people, and I love it, they're scientists, and I didn't take notes, Bob, but I know there's a specific lady who really made a lot of sense than I've ever heard.
Elaine Ingham, who's talking about the microorganisms in the soil. Elaine Ingham, she's a scientist, but she is sort of she's an understandable scientist.
Right.
You know, she's
right. Understandable scientist. And so to me, it's like, I've been saying this, right? This is what I say it in my own unusual way, right? That I've been doing it and try to make it as simple as possible. That basically, that's a living organism there, and there's that basically, you know, this, you know, the chain of life, you know, that we think we're at the top of the food chain. Well, guess what? We're not at the top of the food chain. I know who's at the beginning, at the end of the food chain, and that's the mycelium. The mycelium basically is the world's best gardener. It's growing us, and it wants us to be the best food that it can eat, because that's where its food, right?
Yeah.
You think about it, right? Yeah.
Right.
So you see, I have a different way of saying things, right?
Yeah. Well, I think you seem to have a lot of practical knowledge and understanding, and also you've been trying. That's the thing about, you're a teacher in your way, you know, not only with your radio show, but trying to get people who have you do things for them understand why, what is really going on here, instead of just, you know, understanding that the soil needs nutrition, and there's a relationships, and you know, all these different things.
It's always been
more complex.
I started University of Florida, right? So the very first day, I say, okay, there's an agricultural class where you can have cows, and then, you know, do a little miniature farming going on, and there's, you know, so I'll take that class. And so the very first day, the teacher says there is no difference between synthetic nitrogen and nitrogen found in nature. And guess whose hand went up?
Right. Well, that was the big promotion for a lot of years, was that we can't live without synthetic nitrogen. You know, you can't grow anything without it. You can't grow food without it. I mean, you can't grow food on any scale other than backyard. And, you know, we have this great organic movement happening now that's so strong that proved that completely wrong. And also, it's very energy intensive.
Oh, yeah. Not to say, you know, damaging to the environment. I love it in the movie that basically it says the same thing that I've been saying. See, it backs up. There's one issue, for example, that I've been attacked always. You know, recently there was a study done by Sanford, and you probably know which one. I keep saying recently because, I don't know, somehow it must be in a time loop because I always think this is a 2015 study. I just found it the other month, you know. So I'm going, oh, okay.
Right.
But anyway, it basically said there's no difference between conventionally grown food and organically grown food.
Well, you know, that study, they actually didn't study food. They didn't study the food itself. They just looked at other studies
and
summarized the results. And they actually, I mean, it was complete bullshit if you look inside it.
I know.
Just complete propaganda bullshit.
I know.
And that is just too bad that it came out of Stanford because they have some good people working there.
I talked to the lady.
Total bullshit.
I called her, right, who did the study. And
yeah.
She says, okay, I asked her to be on as a guest, right? And she says, well, let me ask you, what are you going to be asking me, talking to me about? You have to tell me in advance what, you know, you're going to say. And so I basically told her what I was going to say. She says, no, you're antagonistic to me, and I'm not going to be on it. And I told her the very same thing you said. Look, you guys did a study of 400 studies. Who did the studies? There were some clever studies. Okay,
right.
One study, the person said, okay, we're going to have three plots. And we're going to get seeds from the same place. We have to be, you know, scientific. And we're going to just, one's a neutral, one's conventional, one's organic. And then they said there's no difference. Okay, so I'm going, okay.
Well, you have to see what's going, in the soil as well. Because if the nutrients aren't in the soil, they're not going to be in the food. So that's
huge. You're right.
Wait a second.
So there was another study. Somebody said, okay, we're going to get organic seeds and put it, and we're going to get conventional seeds and still do it in the same plot, okay? And so another study said, okay, we're going to go out to the store. We're going to buy organic carrots and conventional carrot and then test it.
Right.
Okay,
I know.
So
it's so unscientific. It's hard to believe they would even
with
science.
And the very first one, where they said we're going to do three plots, right, when they said they're going to do three plots of soil, I said, well, first of all, you didn't get an organic master organic gardener to do the organic gardening part, right? You know what I mean?
Right,
and these
guys
were not real gardeners. But I would have said, yeah, because you're going to get the same results because you're growing in the same crappy soil. Or if the soil was good, whatever the soil was, what you're going to get out of it. On top of that, the organic guy would say, listen, I have to amend the soil. There's lots of stuff I got to do here, you know, right, to get it together.
I know.
And I would say, look. Why don't you do 10 years each and see who wins on that?
Well, you know what? You know, they have done studies. There's a man in the film, Dr. John Reginald, who's at Washington State, who's
right,
an excellent scientific researcher. And he's done studies about nutrient value in organic versus non-organic. And he's come up with the fact that there are more nutrients than organic.
Yeah.
That's because he's a proper scientist. They have organic fields there that have been organic for a long time.
Yeah.
And, of course, you know, Washington State is big for whatever you call it, conventional ag, whatever that is. So, you know, and he's found the complete opposite of this lame-ass study from Stanford where they was just totally unscientific, can't even call it a scientific study. I don't think how they could get away with calling it that.
You know,
they were so lazy, too.
A few weeks ago, I had Carrie Gilliam on from Whitewash. You know the book Whitewash about
Oh
Roundup?
yeah.
Right.
Oh
So,
yeah.
the two things that are similar here is that misorientation, misinformation, deliberately telling people this is the way it is. That's why they do these studies. If you look at I said, gee, who paid for these? Why are they doing all these studies,
Well,
right?
that's
And it's to
right.
mislead, to
Right.
tell you there is no difference. And I get attacked all, I don't even go on the Huffington Post anymore and post anymore because as soon as I say something, 20 people will attack me. I'm thinking these have got to be professional people, and that's their job to confuse the public. And to say, any person will say, no. Because if you give me 10 years on an organic farm that's done the way it's supposed to be, yeah, that's what sustainability is all about. It gets better and better. Your food gets better and better. And you can't tell me that that food is not going to get the minerals. That's why it's called dense. You can actually taste it. That's part of the thing the nature says, right? If it's good, it's going to taste good for you. And it's
Right.
did you hear too? I think you might have heard already. You know the Rodale is going. It's got bought out, and that's
Yeah,
going to be
they've had
around.
studies. Yeah, I filmed there. You know, they do good studies there. You know, their
Yeah,
fields
but
have been
this just
organic
got
for a long
sold.
time.
They just got bought.
Rodale
They're not.
got bought?
Yeah, they're no longer. They're
In
going to
the
be out. Yeah, they got sold. Some company bought them out, and they're going to close off shop, including everything.
What do you
Look
mean
it
they're not
up.
going to have the Rodale Center anymore?
Look it up. Look it up. Tick, 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 tick,
Oh my,
right? Look it
that's
up.
crazy.
I know. And I'm
Wow.
going, oh, yeah. That means to me, because see, they're one of the few
That's
people to stand
sad.
up to anybody else, right?
That's
You know?
sad. That was an old, very
Yeah.
old,
Right. And they had the
a really
power and the
old
will to keep
thing.
going and to say, no, this is wrong. They did their recent study that they disproves. And this whole thing is like you have to be really crazy to say there's no difference, right? Other than the fact that you have to move from one land to another one because you totally destroy the soil. The same thing with the genetically modified organism. They're saying
Oh.
totally safe. I'm going, you're just confusing people because that there's such. I have one of my columns I wrote that there's good GMOs and there's bad GMOs because people don't understand that. That's just a title that they give for that covers a certain three different ways of, and they're
Right.
genetically engineered organisms are the ones we have one of the ones we have to watch out for, and that's where you take
Right.
the Roundup and stuff. They have another method, another way where you expose the genes to radiation, and that's another name there. And then you have the common one, which is what these people are saying is all safe. Let's ignore the other two. It's that. Genetically modified organisms. As a farmer, if you garden, I mean, when I grow tomatoes and that those tomatoes are really good, guess what? I'm going to be growing those same tomatoes again. And after a while, I'm genetically modifying my environment. And that's what's
Right.
fine. That's good. Did you
Right,
guys talk
right.
about GMOs in the movie?
Well,
Did
I
you,
have
right?
another, we did talk about it a little bit, but I have another film called The Future of Food that talks a lot about that. It was the first
The
film on
future of
genetic
food.
engineering. Yeah, The
Cool.
Future of Food. Yeah.
I'll Google it. Listen, before I forget, is there any way I can get any of these scientists on my radio show? Please, please. I know you know them, but
Well, I
I
don't know.
can
You'd
see.
have to contact them yourself. I mean, I haven't talked to them in a while, but I looked up Rodale, and it looked like Rodale. There's two parts of Rodale. There's the Rodale Publishing is run by Maria Rodale. That also
That's the
has
one that got sold.
they own a bunch of different magazines. And then there's the Rodale Institute, which is where they do all their farming stuff. And the Rodale Institute is totally different. So
So
I think the
they only
Institute will
bought
stay the way it is.
they only bought the
They only
magazine
bought the
part.
publishing. Yeah, and the
Well,
Rodale
thank you.
Institute is
Thank
totally
you.
different.
Thank you. Thank
So
you. Thank
that's a relief, yeah.
you. You don't have to burn the house now, dear. Okay, sorry. I was starting the fire. It's
Yeah.
just, what the heck, right? Cool. I
Yeah.
didn't have time to look. I just got it just the other day. So, thank you. That's cool. Well, so they're not going to be doing the Organic Gardening magazine then, are they?
I
That's
think
what
they
the
will continue to be doing it. It seems like there are all their stuff like women's health prevention, Rodale's Organic Life, that's all going to continue. It's just being sold to Hearst, and I guess they've worked together
okay.
before.
All right, so
So
the
it seems like
information
it's
was
going to.
wrong that I got in terms of they were
Yeah.
shutting it down. It's okay, so good. So
Yeah,
you're
so
the
they're not
first
going to
person
shut
that
it down.
Okay, so avoid that
Yeah.
last part, and we're good.
Yeah.
So listen,
Yeah,
what?
no, I think she's really, Maria Rodale, who runs Rodale, looks sounds like she's going to stay involved. She's really good. I mean, she's really, she's super committed to organic, and it's, she's very, just very sharp, very smart, and really cool. So I would be
Cool.
surprised if she
Great,
would
thank you.
shut that down. But it might actually be more money for, who knows? Maybe it's more money for the found. Maybe they'll have more money
Maybe
now
it'll go
because.
more mainstream because it's, it's you need we really need to become more, I mean, there's enough going on right now that if you just, just really think about, because, I talk about the climate change thing and that whole thing and methane. I mean, that's a whole issue right there. I mean, if you can't breathe, so people will die, and that's, that's another story in terms of how we're going to deal with this climate change thing. But in terms of, people eating better, because I have another article I wrote about toxic area. I feel like making a suit with a mask and walk around like that. Does not even
Right,
include,
right.
not even including radiation. You're not supposed to be getting radiated. All these other things, right? Plastic. So,
Right.
all these things are bad that we have to clean up. But my whole. So I figured, well, you can't. I have another show. I have five different radio shows, so I try to exploit, tell people all about these different things. But in this show here, what I want to, one of the things I want to do is concentrate constantly on a regular basis on the soil, on the health of the soil, getting people to realize that it's not just dirt, because they call it dirt. Okay, there's a difference between
Right.
dirt and soil, and so we
Right.
want to. I want to tell people, soil. You need to understand. Gardeners don't know what the soil is about. They have the faintest idea that right beneath their feet, there's supposed to be a living organism that's supposed to be the cook and taking care of everything. And what are they doing? I mean, the water alone, the city water with the, what is it, fluoride or bromide or whatever is in it, right?
Right.
So
Yeah.
what can so what can so you have you have your backyard gardeners for soil health, because that's one of the issues I talk about all the time. Homeowners, I figured, well, because I deal a lot with, you heard of Acres USA, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But we had I had
Yeah,
him
they're
on just a
good.
few days ago. I've known Chuck, the original person that started, did my first book, How Do You Heal the Earth in Your Spare Time. But they're acre-shaped farmers, okay? So, but so we needed like a quarter acres USA, right, for homeowners, right? People with backyards,
Right.
right? But the issues are
Right.
the same thing. Is you have to, people need to pay attention to the soil, otherwise they're going to be in deep trouble. That's how you get it. I have a book called Dances with Ants. You know why you have an ant problem? Because your soil is dying, and the ants love that.
Yeah,
They love dead soil,
right.
that is, right? Right?
Right. Well, that makes sense.
Right, because they're natural bacteria, living organisms in the soil that naturally controls the ant population or any other, whether it be grubs or whatever, right? In the soil, it's the same thing with diseases. If in terms of organisms spreading, all diseases start in the soil. See, I tell people that all diseases and plants are soil born. It's there already, waiting for the right conditions to whoop, come up, and that's what the
Right.
microorganisms do. They keep that condition just right, which happens to be a 6.0. 5 pH to 6.8, maybe at the high level. That's where you're going to find, because that's the range where the microorganisms live, but that's also the same range where the trace most trace minerals are made available. Duh.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
That's true. Yeah.
Sorry, I have to talk fast because, I don't want to get carried away with too much. But so what do you recommend that people should be doing in their backyards for their soil health?
Well, I think they should stop not be using any chemicals. They shouldn't be using
Yeah.
glyphosate or anything like that or Roundup.
Yeah.
They and I think they need to they need to adopt organic practices. They need
Yeah.
to feed the soil. They need to put get good compost or grow good compost themselves and put it on it. They need to get the right seeds for what they want to grow and use mulch so they don't need so much water and rotate crops if they need to, if they're growing in a garden. So there's, I think it's a fascinating study, but I think the main thing they need to do is stop using any poisons in the garden and try to
Right,
create
figure
something
it
that
out.
doesn't need to figure it out. Figure out how they can make it healthy without, without bringing toxins. And it's possible to do it. A lot of people do it. And
you know that.
It's much more
I tell people that,
that
it's
too.
The people who are hooked on their drugs, not the soil.
Yeah.
Right? On the chemicals,
yeah.
Right? On the chemicals. The people
right.
who are hooked on
right.
the chemicals. So you have to help people go through withdrawals. I have to use my whatever, right? You know?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
That's where they go through the withdrawals. But I have to, no, it's just, and then if you don't do that, then you're going to have to figure out some other way to make things grow and do well. And after a while, it's really a very logical process. You have to feed your plants just like you have to eat. And so you have to give it good
right.
food. And that's what it comes down to. Because when people eat the junk that people eat, right, it's equivalent to some kind of chemical fertilizer. If you give a chemical fertilizer to the soil, you're giving it junk. And so you're going to get the same
right.
result, which means you're going to get some kind of pest or some type of disease that's going to attack your little body, right? Because that's what it's supposed
right.
to do. Time to recycle you, right?
Right, right. It's really true. Absolutely.
And I do a lot of radio shows, if you haven't figured it out by now, which, by the way, I would love to have you on any type of regular basis, because, I'd like to have you back to talk about the future of food, because food is, when I watch it, I bet you it's going to be like I'm going to hear myself over and over again, because I've been yelling like I'm not supposed to yell wolf, but I've been yelling food, food, right? I was going around yelling
yeah.
trees, trees, right? Because, it's
right.
what we eat. I mean, I have another show called The Body in the Garden. See, and I relate to our stomach, the bio-me of our stomach, to the equivalent of the microbes in the soil. Interesting enough, if when we do Roundup, for example, put Roundup in the soil and we put Roundup in our bodies because we're eating Roundup, guess what we're doing? We're destroying the ecological balance that's in there. And then if you destroy that, there we go, right?
Right, right. Yeah. Well, that sounds good.
I know.
Yeah,
sorry.
I think there's a lot more awareness now. I think people are much more aware of
you think so?
The fact that we don't need all these toxins. I think a lot, more and more people are aware of it, and then there's a lot of people that are completely unconscious
I think,
of it.
I'm running into lots of people are using chemical fertilizers or chemical this all the time. It doesn't look like these guys are slowing down. Certainly, like where I live in Malibu, I can count organic gardeners in my hand, five of them maybe, and the rest of them are like, no problem with the Roundup, no problem with whatever they want to spray. It's like they don't seem to get it.
Really? Because I would think that those people would be really into organic food and being healthy and clean, and then they would think,
yeah.
I kind of want that in my yard too. No?
Yeah, so you're right. So I went to one place. Oh, our garden is organic, but the lawn we use Roundup, we have to, because you have to get rid of the weeds. I'm going, you're kidding me. I said it internally because, I basically said, I can't help you. You can't really mix the two. You can't say, I'm going to do this organically and do that chemically. It doesn't work.
Right.
So I think a lot of people are doing that. They're also getting confused in terms of different products in the market are calling themselves organic. Oh, lots of gardeners are calling themselves organic. But when you talk to them, say, why are you organic? Well, we have this product right here, which is organic. Therefore, we can call ourselves organic because the law says I only have to use a small part of it organically. The rest of it could be chemical. Did you know that? So they're calling us organic
right.
gardeners, and they're using a little bit. Maybe they buy compost, which, by the way, you buy compost in the store. Really, it's not compost. It's like dead dirt. Right? So anything in a plastic bag, you're not going to expect anything out of it. Maybe you get minerals, but you're not going to get the things you really want out of the compost. But I get a magazine, I'm not going to give a name, but basically it's for chemical pest control people and it's chemical landscapers. And they say, all we have to do is change our name to sound like we're organic. And then all we have to do is say, add one item that's organic and we're organic.
Yeah.
So maybe that's what's happening too. People are getting confused thinking they're getting something that's organic and really, really not. MG, you know what MG is, right? The Miracle-Gro, right? That's not organic.
No, it's not. It's got a lot of fertilizer in it, right?
Yeah, it's a total
A
chemical.
lot
There's lots of
of
stuff that's really, really, really chemical, but they have these green names, and it's just the same thing with food, right? Look at the food, and
Right.
the food thing is like, I tell people, look, if it's not certified organic, don't even eat it if it's natural, because natural used to be natural, but it's no longer really natural, is it?
Right.
Right? Because
I know.
they're
I
saying
don't.
the genetically modified organisms, whatever the high fructose sugar is, that's natural. So that could be part of the natural label now. They tried to get it into
Yeah.
certified, but they couldn't, right?
Right.
So we're getting all the
Yeah.
stuff in the food, and even in the natural thing, and even in the natural, you're allowed to use some of these things which are not really natural. Pesticides, they're not really natural if you can't find anything else to use.
Right.
I'm telling
Yeah,
you,
well.
and the food. I'm curious as to for the future of food, because if we're not careful, we won't have any future. Or we may not have any future, but the future of food, we may be eating something that's not really food anymore. That we lose the ability to actually grow food. Am I off on that
Right.
one?
Well, no, I think that's true, and I think one of the problems is we're killing our soil. We're losing soil all over the planet at a huge rate because of partially because of global warming and also desertification. All these things are happening, and with flooding, when things flood or the fires come in, I mean that damage takes a long time for that soil to come back. So I think it's,
Right.
I think if we destroy our soil, we are dependent on soil. If we destroy the soil, we're not going to be able to grow anything. And people think, oh, we'll just grow it hydroponically, but hydroponic is actually, you can't really grow that much food hydroponically, and it's very, you have to find all those minerals, you have to find all the stuff to put in your hydroponic solution. So that's not going to really feed the world. So I think that's, people need to kind of start thinking about that more.
So the
Some
future of the
people are.
food,
A
is
lot of
that about
people
the
are.
soil? Is that what the future of the food is? It's
The
just
future of
cleverly
food is
changed, call it.
it's about the agricultural system, and it's also
Yeah.
about it's about GMOs. It's about how agriculture works, and then it's about the whole genetic GMO regime and how
Yeah.
that it will not feed the world. And then it also
Wow.
focuses on healthy practices like organic farming and farmers markets and things like that that are
So
an alternative to the industrial food system, which
here's
is,
an interesting thing. So
capitalism.
in a long time ago, they did a study about they went to Africa and they said, we're going to give you corn seeds that you can grow. These are genetically modified corn. They'll do really well here. And they did. They last year they planted them, had acres and acres and acres of this corn stuff, and since it didn't have any pests before, no pest was there. The following year, they came back and they gave them the seeds again. You can grow corn again now. But this time they had problems that they had to buy pesticides and stuff like that. But one of the things that the scientists or doctors found is that the corn that they grew is totally nutritionless. They could be starving because why? We have so much corn. We're eating corn. You should be doing well. But no, remember trace mineral deficient? They weren't getting the nutrition they needed
Right.
from the corn. There was nothing in there.
Right.
So yeah, if we allow that future, that path to go down, you're not going to be eating any. You could be dying and still be. You could be eating everything and not getting anything that you're eating. On top of that, I'm pretty sure you're going to cover what it actually does to, genetically speaking, down the road. Because I, my opinion, we have never really studied what happens if you eat genetically engineered organisms, or whether down the road to your kids and their kids.
Right.
No? Right?
Yeah. No, I think it just seems to be, I think we were actually moving forward pretty nicely for a lot of years, and now what's happening, I think politically is, it's really backtracking. But I do think that more and more people understand that we don't want to keep poisoning our environment. We don't want to eat poison food. We want healthy food and a healthy environment. And so I think that actually it's not going to stop. I think people are going to continue to demand organic food and continue to inform themselves about what the hell's going on. So
I
think it's kind of a time of pulling back somewhat, but I don't see people who are committed to eating organic food or having organic gardens of saying, oh, screw it, we're not going to do that anymore. I don't see that at all. It's just going to be a different, you know, they're just going to do it other way. They're just going to certainly not look to the government to protect them from toxins these days.
Unfortunately, the government's job is to protect us from toxins.
Well, you know, they're supposed to, but I don't think, you know, that seems to have gone out the window for the next few years. But I think people are committed to that, and hopefully they'll rise up and demand.
That's what we have to do, right?
Yeah,
we have to make the changes there at the government level so that it becomes a norm to grow things sustainably. It becomes a norm that we do not use things that come back to us in very odd ways.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
But these are this is what we're challenged. We have to survive these next few years. Hopefully, the change for our kids will be there so that they can. Because it's not too late to. One of my sayings is heal the earth and you heal yourself. And I came up with that in 1970 because that's exactly what I learned happens. As I'm healing the earth, it's coming back to me even more because I understand that if our earth, you know, our soil dies, we won't last too long as a human beings, you know. Simple as that. The earth goes, we go. So there's a connection there. There's a reason for that, right?
Right, right. That's true.
Okay, so to find the video would be to go to, say it again.
Well, for the future of food, you can stream it on iTunes or you can find it on Amazon. You can stream it on Amazon or you can buy the DVD on Amazon.
Our website.
Yeah, symphonyofthesoil.com. And that gives information about the film, and, you know, you can buy the film through that or stream it through that. And then The Future of Food is the same way. You can stream that, get that through iTunes or Amazon, or go to the website, The Future of Food, and that'll, you know, give you information about it and stuff like that, you know. So it's
great.
Out there. Yeah.
Great. And I'm glad you came on because, you know, I want to, you know, I think more and more people should see this video. I'll try to connect it to, you know, share it on I think I did on Facebook, do the whole social sharing thing. You just have to do it regularly, you know, because people don't often read it. I think what I'll do is I'll put it on my website so that they can just look at it regularly. People can go and see it.
Don't put the film on the website.
No, I put the link for it, right.
Oh, yeah, put the link. That's great. You can put the link and then they can go to our...
Did I get a DVD or... I think I got it somehow.
I don't know how you saw it. Yeah, I'm not sure. But, yeah, but people, you know, it's not available for free on the Internet because we're practicing sustainable filmmaking. So, but
exactly
it's,
right.
You know,
so I send people... So what I'll do is when I do the article for today on the show, you know, I'll send them to you to your website to get this, and then the other one is the futureoffood.org.
It's dot com.
Okay, got it. I wrote it down.
Yeah.
Cool. Great. Cool.
Okay.
Thank you.
Excellent. Great. Well, thank you so much, and thanks for all your good work. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. Take care. And I'll send you a copy of the book as soon as I get. I think I have your email. I'll respond to you later today. Okay.
Okay. That sounds good. Thanks. Okay. Thank you. All right.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Okay, so this is Andy Lopez, and you're listening to Don't Panic, It's Organic. Next week, we're going to be doing, I don't think I have anybody on as a guest, so I'm going to be doing my music, and I have a little bit of time here, and I think I'm going to put on this. So thank you for listening to my show. I'll be back next week. This is called Ship of Light. Bye. Have a nice day.